two of the passengers in a most uncommon elevator.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 28 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Banks.
And I'm Brittany.
And we're here to give you the rundown of all the latest news and happenings in the world from attractionsmagazine.com and in our lives in general. This is a special episode of the podcast. If you guys were on YouTube last night, you may have seen a notification that we streamed the recording of this episode live on our YouTube channel. So if you're listening to this after the fact, you could probably go back to our YouTube channel and see the replay, although there's nothing really much to see. It's just all audio. But this may be something new that we try every once in a while where we record the podcast live.
Yeah, this is very new. I'm a little nervous, but
that means people we can't edit.
I know. We have to watch what we say now.
So I'm already seeing people, commenting in the chat who are here for the live stream. So thank you guys for commenting. We're going to get questions from you later on in the episode. But right now, we're just going to continue on like we usually do with this podcast. Now, for a special podcast today, we wanted to have a special guest. So we have Jess, who is at Tiny Mallet on Twitter. If you've been following this homemade Disney, homemade theme park video trend that's been going on for the past almost 2 weeks now, Jess pretty much started this whole thing off with recreating rides. First off, welcome, Jess, for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Was Indiana Jones the first one you did?
I think the first one I did was just A Night at the Magic Kingdom.
Yes. So she kickstarted this hashtag that has snowballed into some great videos from people all over the internet recreating Disney rides and attractions and experiences in their home while everyone is self-isolating and the parks are closed. And it's just been so fun to see all these collaborations start happening and things. And we're going to talk to Jess a lot more about the idea behind why she started and her videos later on as our main attraction of the podcast. But right now she's going to join us here for the podcast to talk some news. But before we get to the news, as we do with every episode of the Attractions Podcast, we want to see what's going on personally with our lives. So Brittany, let's start with you. What's been going on out there in Texas?
Well, we are still on our stay-at-home order until April 13th, so a few days longer than yours. So we're just hanging out at home. We started painting our bathroom today because we have nothing else to do. Started Tiger King. Josh is in the living room watching it right now. It's wild. And he grew up like down the road from a Big Cat Rescue, so this is like very weird for him to watch.
Where is it located? Because I've seen everyone posting about it, and if this is not Florida, I would be very surprised.
It's in Tampa.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, his parents own a tree nursery, and Big Cat is like 5 minutes down the road from the nursery.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and just been playing Animal Crossing. You know, my town hall finally opened. I have Isabel in the game now. We'll talk about that later, but. Mm-hmm. And I streamed for about an hour yesterday on Twitch. It was very quiet, so you guys should come watch more.
Yeah, please, everyone that's here, go check out her Twitch.
Yeah, I'll share the link with you at the end. But yeah, that's pretty much all I did. We're just trying to keep ourselves occupied now that we have to stay home. So
right, exactly. Yeah. Jess, how's your week been going?
It's been bizarre. I'm in Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. So we're all on a, we're all quarantined. I've been working from home now for 3 weeks, I think. Mm-hmm. And I am just surrounded by cardboard at the moment. just making a bunch of props for some future videos. I have a little graveyard of my homemade Disney things. There's a Club 33 sign over there. There's a my Haunted Mansion portraits, like a little gathering of parks memorabilia made out of cardboard right now.
You're going to have to like put those on display. Now, and also like when all this is done, the parks reopen, like you could continue doing that stuff with like things you can do when you're away from the parks.
Boy, I have the parks right here, right now. I'm actually sat in Disney right now.
That's awesome. Yeah, we'll talk to you a little bit more about all that stuff later. It's just been one day at a time, just kind of taking it slow and easy. And tomorrow, so this feels like I've got so much respect for teachers now. We got a whole bunch of stuff to do for Spencer for her school that she's got to complete. We got to send it to her school. And like the amount of work that the teachers put in for these classes and the lessons, I am just like, my brain can't work around all this. Like I feel like I'm going back to school right now. It's insane. So so much respect to all you out there who are teachers. Like, you guys do the Lord's work.
Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine. That makes me nervous just thinking about it. Going back to school, kind of.
I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not looking forward to it. But you know, it's, we're just, you know, like I said, one day at a time. We're see how things go. But there's a lot of stuff to talk about that happened over the past week. So let's go ahead and dive right into the news in the queue.
All right. First things first. As expected, a bunch of parks around the globe and mostly in the Central Florida area announced their extended closures. So we're going to run through all of those, starting with Universal Orlando. They have announced that they will extend their closure through April 19th. This includes the theme parks and City Walk. The Universal Orlando Resort hotels are also temporarily closed. This does not affect their extended closures does not affect any of their construction going on in Osaka with Super Nintendo and Hollywood Universal's Epic Universe in Orlando, which I don't even think has broken ground yet. And Universal Beijing, all construction there is active, whatever they're doing. So this hasn't affected that. Universal Hollywood has also extended their closure through April 19th. So that's Universal for now. Mm-hmm. Legoland Florida and Legoland California are both closed until April 15th. And this includes, let's see, the California is closing the theme park, the water park, the Sea Life Aquarium, and their hotels. But Legoland Hotel is still operating at a low occupancy level. And because of Legoland Florida's extended closure, they were going to grand open Legoland Pirate Island Hotel, and that has now been moved to May 15th. And new opening dates for their new water ski show and Pirate Fest weekends will be announced at a later date.
Yeah, I figured that was going to happen.
Yeah, I know you were really looking forward to that.
Yeah, we know it is what it is.
Yeah. Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Sea have chosen to extend their closures as well, with their new tentative reopening date scheduled for Monday, April the 20th or later. And that sounded super ominous in their press statement. I was like, oh, okay. They were supposed to open, if you didn't know, a huge Tokyo Disneyland expansion, mostly in Fantasyland, but with a new attraction in Tomorrowland, Baymax themed. And now that's been pushed back to whenever the park reopens. The big one that everyone was waiting on, though, was from Walt Disney World and Disneyland. They both announced that they are now indefinitely closed and will remain so until further notice.
Wow.
Yeah, which is horrifying to think about. That, like, really, really set it in for me. Like, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, like, we're going to stay home and be good, and then eventually this will, you know, mellow out and eventually go away. But when they said close until further notice, I started to kind of lose it a little bit.
That was, it's same for me. It was that wording, like, you know, at least knowing, like, oh, there is an end date, even if it kept getting extended, at least having like a concrete end date was a little reassuring. But now, like, basically saying indefinitely until further notice, that's, it's freaky.
Yeah, and this is like unprecedented territory for the parks to be closed this long or even longer, because right now Florida, Osceola and Orange counties, where Walt Disney World kind of straddles, is under a stay-at-home order until April the 9th.
Yep.
And California, the whole state is under a stay-at-home order, but they don't have an end date on theirs. So the parks could reopen in late April, though I think I watched a Tim Tracker video today, and this could be wrong, so feel free to fact check me, but he said that the first day that you could reserve a hotel stay for Walt Disney World is June 1st.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so it could be until June. Cast members, will be paid through April 18th. We don't know what happens for them after that. Hopefully, they will still continue to be paid. It's anybody's guess at this point.
Honestly,
Cedar, yeah.
Go ahead and finish the parks list.
I was going to say Cedar Fair has also extended their closure to mid-May. They were actually the first to say anything.
Yeah.
And then SeaWorld finally said that their parks are now temporarily closed with no reopening date, and they will furlough 90% of their workforce at SeaWorld. So that's like SeaWorld Orlando, San Antonio, San Diego, Busch Gardens, Williamsburg, and Tampa, all the water parks, Sesame Place, Aquatica, starting April 1st.
Man. Yeah. I had several friends that are affected by that, and I feel so bad for them. Mm-hmm. And really anyone, because the jobs, this affects everyone or across the whole country in many different fields. So, you know, my heart goes out to anyone out there listening who has been affected by this. You know, we're extremely lucky that we're able to work from home, but yeah. I know many people are not. So, you know, our love out to you guys and hope you're getting through this. But that's one of the things that I'm really starting to get worried about in terms of Disney, because especially like they have an end date for the cast paying the cast members.
Right.
And that date, when that date comes up, like, are they going to just stop paying them, but keep them hired? Are they going to do what SeaWorld did? That worries me.
Cause I think if they stay employed, they can still get insurance coverage.
Yeah, I think so.
But if they are laid off or furloughed, they can apply for unemployment, and then they get that extra $600 stipend on top of their stimulus check, thanks to Bernie Sanders. But then that means that they're furloughed or laid off until who knows when, and then Disney will have to ask them to come back.
I think that's what scares me the most, because it doesn't affect me personally, but my wife is a cast member, and she has a job that she adores that is perfect for her at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And I'm just worried, like, if they do end up furloughing them, will she be able to return to the exact same role, or is she going to have to get rehired and put somewhere else? And I don't want that to happen.
Right. As soon as I found out, I texted, I'm still in a group chat with some of the girls from the Pirates League, and I texted them immediately, like, hey, this is what's happening. You guys are indefinitely closed. Here's how long you'll be paid for still. You should call your leaders. And they were like, funny, we're hearing this from you before them.
Wow.
Yeah. They haven't said hardly anything to them. They probably don't even know.
Yeah.
But still, it's so scary to think about.
Yeah. And Universal is, I think you mentioned it, Universal's in the same boat in terms of they're still paying their team members until mid-April as well. And then from there, who knows? But, you know, seeing what SeaWorld did, you know, they're the third biggest theme park company in Orlando. So if they're doing that, you know, it's the realm of possibilities there that Universal and Disney could do the same thing. But it's just one. I always keep saying this, but it's true. You just got to take it one day at a time.
Yeah.
And you're not going to know anything until the next day.
SeaWorld wasn't even, they were only paying their full-time ambassadors, their employees.
Right.
They weren't paying part-timers at all. Mm-hmm. So now those full-timers, those like career ambassadors, they're kind of out of luck too.
Jess, how has all this affected like what you do for a living?
Me personally, I actually work in the medical industry. I work on a medical journal. So my work has really picked up in these past few months.
I'd imagine. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're able to work from home.
Yes, I'm able to work from home. But we have a lot of work to do getting information out there, getting the correct information out there, and working with a lot of doctors to get their papers published quickly. So Yeah, I've been really busy work-wise and just very sad theme parks-wise.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Were you, correct me if I'm wrong, were you planning a trip down here before all the closures happened?
Yes, I was. I was actually going to be there. I would have been there Friday the 13th, the day that they announced the park closures.
Oh, wow. Dang.
Wow. Yeah, so I was set to go on the Wednesday the 11th, and my work issued a travel ban on us, and so I had to cancel the Tuesday afternoon, the day before I flew out. I had to cancel everything.
Wow,
man, I'm so.
That was right after I left. I was there, the week before.
Yeah, because you were here for the opening of Runaway Railway. Yeah. And I was at Magic Kingdom the day they made the announcements. So that was and I've talked about it on a past episode, but that was a really surreal thing to like see all the stuff happening in real time while in the Magic Kingdom. And then like seeing the park, because we were there for a media event. So seeing all the PR people like running around, like trying to figure out what's going on. It was like, I'll never forget that. It was surreal to see.
Yeah, I was attending a social media conference down there, so I still was able to attend virtually. But our final keynote speaker was Thomas Smith of Disney Park.
Yeah,
he had to cancel to make the announcement, so my conference that day was cut short.
Oh wow, yeah, it's an unprecedented time for mm-hmm. sure in all aspects, especially in the theme park world.
Do you think the park's experience overall is going to change when they do finally reopen? Like, do you think they'll just open the floodgates and be like, welcome back, we missed you? Or is it going to be like, we're cutting park capacity in half, there's going to be Purell lining the streets?
I guarantee you that all the sanitizer and soap stations they placed out before the closures were going to remain for a while. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, I don't know if they're going to reduce capacity. It's possible. There's still going to be people crowding the streets and standing all together. I don't think that's going to, they'll be able to stop that at all. But they know that. So they're not going to open until they feel the time is right that people can do that again. So that's why we could see this closed for more than a month.
Yeah, things aren't even back to normal in China and the rest of Asia yet. So,
yeah, and they were the ones that it started back in January. So,
yeah, I think they tried to open their movie theaters today and they were open for not even a full day and they closed them again.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So who knows?
All right. Well, what's next on the docket, Brittany?
Well, some happier, softer news, because Tokyo Disney Resort is closed, a bunch of their shows were scheduled to end right around now, and to kind of give something back to their guests while they can't come visit the park, they've been recording final performances of all of these shows and uploading them to YouTube.
Such a good idea. I know that the mini show, and there was one other show, I forget what it was, they only really posted highlights of those shows, but then they posted the full Fantasmic performance, which I had never actually seen a full performance of that. And it shot so professionally and so beautifully.
I think I saw Chris from TDR Explorer say that this video is the best view he's ever gotten for Fantasmic in Tokyo.
I would imagine.
Yeah, because is this one of the shows that's lottery based, or can everyone go stand in the harbor and see it?
I'm not sure. I'm not terribly familiar with the system out there at Tokyo, but this may have been one of the lottery based ones. But it was just so nice to see that show, full show, because yeah, it is Fantasmic, but it is so different in many ways from the Fantasmics mm-hmm. here stateside. You know, you have the familiar music, but you also have new music and new elements. And it's kind of like a mashup of like Fantasmic and World of Color.
I love that. I mean, you guys know that Fantasmic's my favorite, but this is like a whole other ball game. It ran for almost 9 years. If it had lasted until April 28th, it would have made its 9-year anniversary. And it shows Mickey on like this giant Christmas tree looking projection mapped LED thing. It's and it's just something else. Fountains, and you have the volcano in the background. It's so, so cool.
Yeah. Regular listeners know how much of a softy I am. So when I was watching the video and the finale, and then the show ends, and then they do this curtain call with the characters where they have the characters coming up and coming up to the camera and taking a bow, and then the end card says thank you. Oh, I just, geez. I lost it. I was like, I was like, this is because I know with my theater background, I know what it means to do a final show where, you know, like this, your last time performing this. And for that cast, they never really got to know their final show. They didn't, I mean, I'm sure they knew like we're closing tomorrow, so this will be the final show, but they may not have known that this would be the last show they ever knew. So just them adding that little curtain call at the end, I felt was really special.
Yeah, I agree. The show was originally scheduled to end on March 25th, and that's when this video was uploaded. You can watch it on our article on the website or on Tokyo Disney Resort's official YouTube channel, though it will get taken down after April 30th on their YouTube channel. So be sure to watch it while it's up.
I know what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Have you gotten to experience both versions of Fantasmic here in the States, Jess?
Yes. Yes.
Which one do you prefer?
Oh, I prefer California.
Yep.
That's the correct answer. <That'd be great.
laughs> You'll love this Fantasmic. It is such a great little mix of everything. And I never get to see it in person, but I'll miss it.
I will ready my tissues. I think I'm going to cry too at the end.
curtain call. Oof.
And I love this just trend that Disney's starting to kind of do, where they're putting up these shows, and then they put up the Magic Happens parade today. It wasn't like a full, it was the full parade, but it wasn't like a one shot, one take. It was professionally edited, but they included the whole source audio for each unit. Really great shots of the floats and the dancers. Like, I was really impressed with it. They're going to put us out of a job.
It's my dream for them to start adding them to Disney Plus, not like current ones, but archive the older ones.
Oh my gosh.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be so great.
Have you seen, there is a Wonderful World of Color episode, and it's like in the 60s, and it says Disneyland by the Seasons, and you get a little sneak peek of like the parade in the 60s.
They need to add a lot more of those old Wonderful World of Disney, the ones that Walt hosted.
Yes, absolutely.
So many possibilities that they're still mining on Disney Plus.
I'm still waiting for a Disney theatrical pro shot section on there.
Like Beauty and the Beast and Tarzan, Newsies,
Little Mermaid. Yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome?
They totally should. Especially the ones that are not, you know, performing anymore.
Yeah. I would love to see Sierra Boggess and Little Mermaid, like, not 720p or 420p.
All right. What's next?
My Animal Crossing update. Okay. So friends, I've played Animal Crossing for 1 week. And it has been a journey. I got my, Town Hall Center building, Resident Services building upgrade yesterday. And that means that Isabelle's finally in my game. She does the morning announcements. So every time you turn on the game for the first time that day, she'll give you like updates, like if someone new has moved in or if someone special is visiting. Mm-hmm. If there's going to be a meteor shower that night, she'll tell you. It's wonderful. I just added a campsite to have more people move to my town, and I'm working on my museum. I just moved it from the beach to next to a waterfall. Costs a lot of bells. I'm doing some infrastructure work now. I built a bridge today. It's just honestly, like, this might sound ridiculous, but it has kept me sane during this this weird, strange time we're living in right now. Cause it is, I look forward to checking it and doing things in my town every day. I'm so excited to like get up and see how much turnips are selling for in the store, to say hi to all of my neighbors. It's just, it's really nice. And it's established a kind of routine in this craziness that I really enjoy.
I seriously get, I'm getting like a lot of FOMO, like fear of missing out, because like, I really want to switch now to play this game everyone's talking about.
I'm amazed at how many people are actually playing this game that I never would have pegged to play this game ever. It feels like it's reached a whole like mass audience because of this, you know, the coronavirus and everything happening and everyone staying home. I've seen people recreate like weddings that they had to cancel, birthday parties that they had to cancel.
Graduations.
Insane. It's absolutely crazy. And that on top of the fact that it sold more in its first weekend than both Smash and Pokemon in like 3 days. It sold more than both of those games in their first 2 weeks.
Hey, Universal, maybe now it's time to put Animal Crossing in the theme park.
Listen, you know that SpongeBob episode where all the little SpongeBobs are running around in his brain and everything is on fire and papers are flying everywhere? That was Universal the day that they got the first weekend sales from Animal Crossing.
I hope that really happens. I love seeing all these memes coming out. I saw this one video. Apparently, I guess there's an island where you can catch spiders, but if the spiders bite you, you pass out.
Tarantula Island. Yes, I know it well.
Yeah, there was this one video of someone trying to catch a spider and they're like running around and hopping over holes trying to corner it so that they could catch it, and they successfully catch it, but then another one comes up really fast from the bottom of the screen and I screamed when I saw it. I was like, oh my god, what luck.
Just wait till you see the scorpions.
Oh no.
They come out in the summertime. I really want you to get a Switch so you can experience this for yourself. But there is a Switch shortage in America right now.
I've noticed every time I go to the store to grab like something essential, I'll kind of peruse by the electronics to be like, do they have any more in stock? Nope. All right.
I saw, I follow a Twitter that tweets about Animal Crossing, mostly for like product restocks. So when they were restocking the special edition console so I could help my friends get one, they tweeted about how the regular like neon blue red Switch got restocked at Walmart.com. That tweet was up for all of 5 minutes before they replied to that tweet saying sold out, all gone.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty much if you go to a store, all you can find now are the lights. Which is great if you don't mind not ever playing on the TV.
I wish I could find the lights.
Seriously? They don't even have those?
Nope.
What?
My Target is bone dry.
Oh my god. That's crazy.
Jess, do you have a Switch or any video games?
I do not. I have siblings that have Switches. They were playing Super Smash Brothers the other night with each other. And we're like, oh, Jess, do you want to come join with us? But I'm not very good at the hand-eye coordination. And it's frankly embarrassing to my siblings if I play with them. But Animal Crossing sounds wonderful and delightful, and I'm very interested.
It's my favorite thing in the whole entire world. I've played the game since, like... the Wild World, which came out on the DS like 15 years ago. It's so fun and there's like no pressure to it. It's very nice.
I saw someone post photos where they had made carpet and wallpaper based on the Orlando International Airport.
Shut up.
Well, like the carpet patterns.
Oh, and my God. I saw one today. I think Chris from TDR Explorer shared it. Someone has been making cast member costumes from Tokyo Disney in Pro Editor. I also saw one where someone made a shrine to shirtless Kylo Ren from The Last Jedi and put it on their floor surrounded by tiki torches. It was very nice.
Incredible.
You can do anything in that game, and the meme quality and potential is astronomic.
It's all over the interwebs right now.
So yeah, if you're listening and you have a Switch, consider buying it digitally. Don't go to the store. Buy it digitally and add some relaxing routine to your life.
Exactly. All right, so moving on now to our main attraction. So we talked about earlier the parks being closed. A lot of people are now becoming very creative and creating their own experiences at home using the hashtag Homemade Disney and Homemade Theme Park. And Jess, who's with us here tonight, pretty much was the one who kind of got the ball rolling with this whole thing, posting a video almost 2 weeks ago now. What's it been like to see this explode ever since you first posted that video?
Oh, it has been my favorite thing. Like, since I can't have Animal Crossing, I'm so glad that I have this. I just didn't think that a dumb video that I posted, I usually make dumb videos to send to my best friend and it makes her laugh and that's it. But I decided to post that online because I couldn't make this trip that I did. And I thought, well, I'm going to get my conference experience regardless. And it's all started with me making a video of myself getting on a plane, which was so dumb. And then having people react to it and getting comments like, oh, you made me smile today. Or thank, like, I needed this, which was just wild. And then seeing people post their own, and people are incredibly creative. It just makes me so happy.
Yeah, it's been such a joy to watch grow and see everyone else do it. And now you got people, if I'm remembering the name correctly, Dave Cobb, who worked on Men in Black Alien Attack for Universal, created his own for that attraction.
Yes, and it was so fantastic using those colored lights and so good.
I loved it. Brittany, are you going to jump on and do anything?
Oh, geez. I'm sure Josh would try to recreate Jaws somehow.
Yes.
I don't know if you know this, Banks, but we have a bottle of Jaws water in our house.
I've heard. Like actual water, right?
Yeah. I will not say how he obtained it, but it is from the ride, and I smelled it once. It smells authentic. I can totally picture him trying to recreate Jaws. I think he has a script somewhere in our office hidden away.
And if he needs it, I've got the actual ride audio with the radio transmissions that he can use.
I'll have to tell him about this. Where once we get the bathroom painted, we'll need something else to do.
I wanted to jump on, but I'm not as, you know, I'm creative when it comes to, like, you know, my video editing, but I am not really that creative when it comes to, like, making these makeshift props and things and lights like that. We don't have that kind of stuff. So I was like, I created just the alien swirling saucer video, and Jess was kind enough to shoot some fun stuff on her end as a single rider on it that always slides around, because every time I ride it by myself, I'm always end up hitting each side of the car.
Story of my life, that is. Big Thunder Mountain is the worst.
Oh yeah, right. So that was fun to do that, and just seeing the genius of everyone's videos. Everyone is just so creative in their own ways. Like, even something as simple, I think today I saw someone posting a video of Happily Ever After, and then someone just stands in front with someone with a kid on their shoulders.
I saw this.
That was so funny.
I literally, like, face palmed my face so hard, because that has been such a thing that is so quintessential to the Disney experience. Like, yeah, you get to see the fireworks, but then a really tall dad with their toddler on their shoulders comes and stands in front of you. It's not Disney if that doesn't happen.
Right. And even Jess, like, you repurposing the Magic Happens parade footage and just adding you watching and being told to move.
Yep. Well, that's what I love so much about these videos is people putting in, like, those authentic Disney moments, like, oh yeah, you're in the way, you have to move, or somebody stands in the way. Because it's those little things that people watch and then they're like, oh, that's so true. Like, when I did the soaring and I did the pulling on the yellow tab, just like those tiny little details that that people are like, oh yeah, I remember that when I used to go outside, we used to do that. And that's what I love so much about these videos is those tiny little details that people put in. There was one family that had, they did Expedition Everest. And at the end, they take the photo and then a girl looks at the end, she's going to go take a photo of it and then looks and it's not a good picture of her and she gets upset. Like, I love things. I love things like that. Or they're playing heads up in the line or, oh.
I think I love how wholesome it is. All these people on Discord are creating these videos just out of pure joy and love for the parks and to just do something fun with all the spare time that they've found themselves right. having.
Involving their families in it. Our one of our reporters who writes for our magazine, Andy, he and his family created one for It's a Small World. And like they even include a scene of them waving up to the people in the restaurant.
Yes!
Like,
oh my God.
The authenticity is, like you said, is just amazing.
Yeah, and they wave at the cast member in the on top of the bridge as well. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You go under. Oh, fantastic.
It's been so good. So Jess, do you have a favorite video that you've seen others make and a favorite video that you've made?
Ooh, yeah. Okay. It's so hard to pick from ones that other people have made because all of them are just so delightful. Whether it's the incredibly cute kids or just the detail they put into it, that whole family that recreated Frozen Ever After. Now Frozen has a special place in my heart. So seeing that, and they did it so well. I love.
I didn't see that one.
Ride. It's so good. The little ride vehicles that they make. Someone did one with their, it must have been an 18-month baby, and they turned their little bump seat into a ride vehicle doing Winnie the Pooh and taking them around, which was just fantastic. But I think one of my favorite ones is the Winnie the Pooh one.
Mm-hmm.
When the kid sits down and they're like, no leaning on the rails, please, which was just...
Oh, the rope, yeah.
Oh, so funny.
Once again, you know, just the thing you always observe at a theme park.
Yeah.
I got to say, honestly, I think you, Jess, just posted my favorite so far today, and that was the Tower of Terror one. Those who listen to this podcast know I am a huge Tower of Terror fanatic. I've been one since I was a little kid when it opened, and it was my favorite ride of all time until Rise opened up, but it's a very, very close number two. And seeing you... put that together, like you went all out for that.
I have to say thank you so much for contributing to it with the little ornament at the beginning. It was just the perfect opening shot. I've wanted to do Tower of Terror because somebody tweeted, I think last week, saying, you cowards not doing the Tower of Terror, because I guess it's like a drop one. So I did that little teaser yesterday of me like on my office chair, who is real MVP of these videos.
that shot was like the view at the top of the stairs from the bottom is always very ominous looking.
No, the silhouetted dark lighting. So I thought like, okay, I'm going to do Tower of Terror, and I was trying to work out how I did it, and then blow dryers was my answer. I'm going to take some blow dryers to try and get that your hair going up motion. And then that was it from there. I just had the blow dryers idea and then made a little list of everything that I wanted to include. Used a lot of baby powder to make my dust.
Using the curtains for the elevator door, I would have never thought of that. I was like, how would you do an elevator door? But curtains is like, wow.
Yeah, I think what's been so fun about these is creative problem solving, which is not related to work at the moment. It's just like thinking, right, how can I do this in the jankiest way possible?
Now, I want to announce actually tonight, because no one knows this yet except for Jess and I. She had posted a photo a couple days ago of like the bellhop bell or the hotel bell and some cobwebs and stuff, and you're making the video. Mm-hmm. And I immediately jumped on the chance to help out with the ornament. And then I thought, I'm going to reach out to a friend of mine and see if he can do some custom narration as Rod Serling for the video. And that friend was Mark Silverman, who actually voiced Rod Serling on the ride. And he came back and he recorded audio, and the audio of Rod Serling you hear in Jess's video is the same guy that did Rod Serling for the ride itself.
Stop.
It's yeah.
Incredible. I cannot believe it.
My jaw is on the floor right now. I have to collect it.
I've known Mark for many years now. He's a really great guy. Years ago we did a custom opening on the show in black and white, where because we had interviewed Mark in person at our set, and we had him record some custom narration for an opening of the show that we did, God, back in 2013, I think it was now. So I've known him since then, and I figured, I was like, you know, he's probably at home, got nothing much to do as well as us. Let me reach out to him and see if he'll record a couple of lines really quick. And he was very gracious and did that for Jess. And I think it really adds to the video.
Oh, I restructured the entire video when I got that audio to like fit it in more and have it be like an integral part of the video that I was making.
The timing that you like, the way you cut the audio too, with the timing and having it end when he says the Twilight Zone when you get on the elevator was great.
Thank you so much. See, I knew when you told me that Mark was going to record this, I knew I had to go all out for this video.
A lot of people are saying that's your best work yet, and I have to agree.
Uh-oh.
How are you going to top this one now?
I know, pressure's on.
Yeah, I get Bob Chapek now to cameo in it or something.
Get Joe Rohde to come in and do an Everest bit about how the Yeti's broken or something.
Listen, if anyone's out there listening and wants to contribute to a video, I'm down.
You know who I would love to see do one?
Who's that?
Jack Black.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Because he's a theme park guy.
Him, Chris Evans, Neil Patrick Harris. Like, they're all huge Disney Parks fanatics.
Someone needs to tell him. Jack has a YouTube channel, so he could just throw it up on there.
Yeah.
But let's just lay down the gauntlet right here, right now. Come on. Come on, Jack Black. Make a home at Disney.
We know you listen to this.
Guardians, Jack Black. Come on. I challenge you.
But yeah, thank you, Jess, for starting this whole thing. It's just a joy to see and take part in and just enjoy, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just wonderful. They make my day just seeing the new ones every day. I go check the hashtag and I see what's new and who's sharing what, and it just makes my day.
Okay, so for all three of us here, because everyone's already done a lot of different things, but what's one thing that you haven't seen done yet that you think you would love to see done, either by yourself or see someone else do?
Oh God,
I feel like I saw someone attempt to do Rise, but I can't remember exactly if they did or not.
I think I've seen that one too.
Yeah, I think I've seen the Rise one with the American Girl dolls, right?
Yes.
That's it. Yep.
My friend Rob out in the UK did one for Millennium Falcon that was just perfect.
Oh, that was fantastic.
I'm trying to think, like, what ride? I would say Tower, but just pretty much, you know, threw the gauntlet on that one.
Is there one for Hagrid's yet?
No, I don't. I haven't really seen a lot of Universal aside from like Men in Black, and maybe one or two other things. Not a lot of people.
Have you seen the Back to the Future one?
Yes,
that one is very good.
It makes me wonder if there's going to be more extinct attraction ones that will be done.
Okay, so then I make my vote: Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure, or you like one up the Jungle Cruise one and do it in like a pool with floaties or something. Like, take it the extra mile.
God,
I'm trying to think what I would want to see.
Oh, And feel free for anyone to hear this to steal the idea, but I don't have enough of the toys that it could work, but you could do a Skyliner one and like do aerial shots of like toys of like the Epcot ball and, you know, my tower ornaments and like you're flying over the resorts.
That's not a bad idea.
No, I like that.
I don't have enough of the toys either. Someone else will have to take that one.
See, that's something that I have a real struggle with is finding props and toys.
Mm-hmm.
I did have today some local kids, my neighbor's kids, left a Ariel on my doorstep because they want to see Journey to Little Mermaid. They want to see that ride.
Oh yes.
So they've left me an Ariel to use.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really I can think of right now. Maybe a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train where people can like, you know, swing a bucket or something, or, you know, put their kid in a swinging bucket.
I just thought of one. I don't know if someone's done this yet, but Mine Train through Nature's Wonderland.
Ooh.
What if you redid that one? That would be really cute.
I think what I'd love to see is, again, I lack any props or toys for this, but the Storybook Canal boats from Disneyland. It's just such a cute ride.
Yeah, don't you have the Frozen Castle at least, Banks? Spencer has it?
Yeah, we have the Cinderella Castle Frozen version of it from Christmas this past year.
Ah, I was going to say, you might be able to do that one.
Yeah, we were.
You have a castle.
Yeah, and Sydney actually had a good idea yesterday. She was telling me that we should do like a Christmas on Main Street kind of thing. And maybe, you know, do something like that with the Cinderella Castle.
Oh, that would be so sweet. You can make little like Snope bubbles and like blow them.
Yeah, exactly. But there's the potential out there. There is so much. There's so much you could do and keep this going. Like I said earlier, just something as simple as standing in front of a TV screen playing Happily Ever After. There's so much that you can do. So many inside jokes you could do. I can't wait to see where this continues.
Me too.
By the end of this, we'll have an entire park. We'll have an entire resort.
Oh my. We need to create like an interactive map or something so that you click on and the video
that
plays.
Perfect. That what if you did so like a homemade Disney of walking through the park, just like a stroll, and then you recreated some of the monuments and stuff as you passed by?
Oh.
Free ideas. The podcast. What this is.
The gauntlet's been thrown down, everyone. This thing.
Yes. So yes, Jess, where can people follow you if they want to see some more videos?
I'm at Tiny Mallet on Twitter. That's where I post the majority of my videos. And I'm working on a new one right now. So
any hints on what you're doing?
I guess the only hint I'll try is that I'm going for the high score.
Oh,
Interesting.
All right. Well, let's keep an eye out for that one. I think did you post a teaser photo of it on Twitter or sent me a photo?
I sent you a little teaser photo.
So I know what it is, but hopefully very soon a few y'all get to see it. I can't wait to see how that turns out. All right. So at this point, we usually just kind of chit chat and say goodbye. But since we're doing this live stream format, for those of you that are watching and listening to us right now on YouTube, I have the chat open here. Feel free to throw in a question or two. We'll be happy to answer it. I mean, I know people have been posting throughout the whole hour here talking to us. And I see our friend Rodney, who's always there for Early Night Live every week. But as of right now, while we're saying goodbye, you know, feel free to post any questions. I'm just kind of dragging it out a little bit so people have time to type their questions out and answer them. I'll go ahead and get started. Since Jess is you're our guest this week, what is your favorite Disney attraction?
Oh, that is such a good question. Okay, I love the Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I will always want to do that. If I'm in Magic Kingdom or I'm at Disneyland, I will always make sure I ride that at least twice. Maybe three times, except when it's Haunted Mansion Holiday. But I was there in September and I was outraged that it was already Haunted Mansion Holiday, but I rode it anyway. That's one of my favorite rides. And I love the Little Mermaid. There's a turtle that dances with his arms back and forth. He is great. I always love to go say hi to the turtle. And I love Guardians. I think Guardians is such a good ride.
It really is. Like, as a huge Tower fanatic, I was sad to see that version go, but at the same time, it wasn't the best version of the Tower of Terror. Mm-hmm. Ours is the far superior. But
yeah, Guardians
is a heck of a lot of fun.
So fun. I think I did it 6 times in one day once.
Did you get all the different songs, or how many different songs did you get?
We got the same song 3 times.
Oh my god.
Boo.
Right? It was
a demand a root ride.
We got the funk like 3 times. And we ended up, because like rides kept on breaking down, so we ended up getting loads of complimentary fast passes, and we rode Guardians 3 times in a row.
Wow. All right, here we got a question here. Can y'all see that on the screen?
Yes.
It all just right.
popped up.
There we go. Hunts Mac wants to know, Super Nintendo World is still opening in June, July of this year. According for all intents and purposes, it is still on track to open this summer over at Universal Studios Japan. Brittany was saying, correct, that they're still continuing with the construction?
Yes. The only thing was that they were trying to time the opening of it to the Olympics, which were also supposed to take place this summer, but that has been pushed back a year. So for all intents and purposes, it should still open sometime this early summer, midsummer, mm-hmm. Unless something says different. I would assume that that is the case still.
Yeah. Kristen wants to know, which song was it, Jess, that you heard 3 times?
It was We Got the Funk.
3
times. Wasn't even the Jackson 5.
Oh, man. I think that's the song that plays at the Epcot Experience, too, for the Guardians preview, was We Got the Funk.
That's the conspiracy. They're trying to push it on us. They're on us.
Mr. PD Dispos wants to know, well, you're not in the UK. You're from the UK, but you're not there currently.
Yes. I'm just outside Washington, D.C., so it's...
10 o'clock here.
Yeah, it's not 3 a.m. But go to bed if it's 3 a.m., Mr. PT Dispo.
Oh my gosh. So JD here says that he has a great idea for you, Jess. There you go.
Oh, that would be incredible to recreate Superstar Limo. Oh, I just don't have a Drew Carey action figure. What am I going to do?
Oh. You got to have the Drew Carey holding the maps on one
holding
foot.
The maps.
Make like a big cardboard cutout of him.
Whoopi Goldberg at the end. Be incredible.
Kristen's got another question here. Favorite character from Splash Mountain?
Oh, you know it's the happy chickens at the end.
I was also going to say the chickens.
The gospel chickens. Yes, the gospel chickens.
I love them.
They take me to church every single time. I also love in the California one with the ominous rabbit mother who is operatically giving a warning about the laughing place, and she has a slightly lazy eye on the right side. Shout out to Rabbit Mother there. She is fantastic.
I wish we had that one here. Instead, we have this like little creature just yelling FSU. Yes, everyone likes the happy chickens.
The chickens are the best part.
Yes. All right. Well, I think it was a pretty good episode there. Jess, thank you so much for sitting in and chatting with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun.
I really like this new format, Brittany, with the live stream, and we can bring in guests.
Yeah. It seemed to work pretty smoothly once we got going, and we've got 19-20 people. It fluctuates every couple seconds, but that's a lot.
Especially for just going live with no like heads up at all. So
right
now if we start promoting this more, we could probably get a good amount of people in here.
maybe even show our faces next time.
Maybe. I really want to build like a set somewhere where I can sit in front of it and have something behind me. I need to work on that. Now that I'm here every day, that might be happening.
What if we do it like a Zoom call with like the backgrounds that everyone's doing now?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Green screen it.
Yes. I had a work call with my team on Friday, and everyone has got blank backgrounds, and I'm there in Elsa's ice castle. So that when people asked me what my background was, it was my Kingdom of Isolation.
Oh my
God. Oh,
I was the queen. And then I was quickly muted. It's fine.
Oh no.
I noticed like in your profile photo, do you cosplay a lot?
I went to both Disneyland Halloween, the Oogie Boogie Bash, and the Not So Scary Halloween Party last year. So with my best friend, and we were young Anna and Elsa. We were, do you want to build a snowman, Anna and Elsa? And it was the most delightful experience that I've ever had in a Disney park. Us going around dressed as Anna and Elsa was so much fun. We went on Soarin', we asked if it stopped in Arendelle.
Oh my goodness.
And just really lent into everything. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great. I remember one time I went, I've dressed up as two like pre-show attraction characters in the past. Years ago, I used to dress one Halloween as Bill McKim from the original Test Track. It's like, put up 2, 5, and 7. Yeah, 7. And then I also dressed up as Dr. Seeker from Dinosaur. And I had a puppet and everything. Maybe I should. That's what I need to do. I need to pull that out again and use that for a video.
Yes. I did meet in one of the Halloweens, somebody was dressed as the Hatbox Ghost. And that was just the cherry on the top of a perfect day. Me taking a picture with the Hatbox Ghost was fantastic.
That's perfect. All right. So at this point, it's time to say goodbye. But before we go, let's sound off. Jess, you already mentioned it, but go ahead and let everyone know again, where can everyone find you on the internet?
I'm at Tiny Mallet on Twitter.
And Brittany, where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, and at twitch.tv/BritPlays. I seem to be streaming on Saturdays now. So come hang out. You got nothing else to do.
And you can find me at Bing Slee on Twitter. We all don't have much else to do. You can find me on Twitter at Bing Slee, Instagram at Disney Goofball, and of course all of the Attractions Magazine socials on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and of course attractionsmagazine.com. Thank you everyone for tuning in to this first live stream of the Attractions Podcast. For those who are listening to this after the fact and you're listening on iTunes or whatever your podcast platform is, this might be a regular thing. So tune back in next Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll record another episode live on YouTube. Until then, I'm Banks.
And I'm Brittany. Stay inside, wash your hands, try to have some fun indoors.
Yeah. Go make sure you have fun. And, you know, we want to see your videos too. You know, tag us and hashtag homemade Disney, homemade theme park. We want to see your creativity as well. Have a good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
And a quick message from the Twilight Zone. Wash your hands for 20 seconds with warm soapy water. The life you save may be yours and mine.